And whether or not to send natural gas out of the U.S. is a major issue for the Department of Energy right now. Around the country, 24 proposed export projects are awaiting government approval. At issue are concerns ranging from jobs to energy security to the impact on local environments. NPR's Jeff Brady reports from Coos Bay on the Oregon coast.
A short walk from the Pacific Ocean in the middle of a sandy field of tall grass, an industrial property that has long been silent is active again. A crew for Jordan Cove Energy is beating a cone into the ground, explains project manager Bob Braddock.
To determine how solid the ground is to function as a foundation.
If all goes according to his company's plan, there will be two huge storage tanks next to a 45-foot deep berth for ships in Coos Bay. Nearby, a new power plant would run the refrigeration necessary to liquefy about 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas every day. That's enough to meet the needs of nearly 4 million American homes. But the gas wouldn't stay here, according to Braddock.
Our principal market are the Asian countries, India, Japan, South Korea, that are strongly interested in securing LNG from the United States.
LNG is liquefied natural gas. Until recently, most people assumed the U.S. would import LNG. But now, because of controversial technologies like fracking, drillers are producing a lot more domestic natural gas, so much that prices are down, along with industry profits. Drillers are looking overseas for new customers. The Jordan Cove project here in Coos Bay was originally an import terminal. Now it'll be an export terminal. The possibility of this $6 billion project has economic development officials excited.
My headline would be, our time has come. It's here and, you know, God love it.
Sandra Geiser-Messerly heads the South Coast Development Council. Her region's economy suffered with the decline of the timber industry. This project would bring in several thousand construction workers. It also would create about 150 new jobs, with wages averaging $75,000 a year. Geiser-Messerly already is hearing from people interested in those jobs.
And I get phone calls saying, would you keep my resume? Can I send your resume? Because we had to move away when there weren't any jobs, and we just want to come home. We really want to come home.
In front of a nearby post office, Angeline Pennington says she supports the project.
We need more than just retired people here. We need some young people to stay in the area.
But talk to a few more people, and you begin to learn this project is controversial.
I like to use the bay a lot, crabbing, clamming. And
Jeff Allen lives in the town of Coos Bay.
Now you can go out there and do whatever you want, and when they have more industry out there, it's just gonna have ships coming up the bay. You're not even gonna be able to have a boat get near that.
And the controversy extends well beyond this coastal town. That's because this project requires a 230-mile-long pipeline. It would transport gas from south-central Oregon to the coast. The pipeline would cross public and private land. Now we're about 100 miles inland, hiking up a steep wooded hillside on property owned by the Oregon Women's Land Trust. Part of the group's mission is to preserve land.
From here, it goes almost due northwest, right up that hillside right there.
Frances Etherington is a board member, and she's pointing out a proposed route the Pacific Connector Pipeline would take across this property. Crews would cut a wide swath through the mature forest where trust members now enjoy hiking. As we trace the proposed route, Etherington stops. In front of us is a grave.
And here lies our friend Carol Gale.
Etherington says Gale wanted to be buried here, and members of the trust agreed, but a proposed pipeline route would cross near here.
This is just one example of a possible way the pipeline could interrupt our lives and take away the value of our land.
Etherington says they've been offered a few thousand dollars in compensation, but Board Secretary Kasaja Wilder says the group wants no part of this project.
There will be women who will come out here and they'll chain themselves to things and they'll lay down in front of machinery. That's what will happen here if they try to bring this pipeline through here.
opposition to the pipeline has created some unusual alliances. Rancher Bill Gao says on most other issues, he'd be on the opposite side of the Oregon Women's Land Trust.
I'm a right-wing conservative, believe in property rights.
Gao says the pipeline would run across about a mile and a half of his ranch. He doesn't know exactly where because he won't let surveyors on his property.
They're going to put a big scar right through the middle of my ranch, but, you know, it's no big deal. It shouldn't bother me. It bothers the hell out of me, and I don't want it there.
But Gao may not have a choice. Eminent domain likely will come into play, and a court could force reluctant landowners to allow the pipeline across their property. Gao understands this, but says he won't give in before that time comes.
It's not for the good of the American people. This is to export this gas to another country. I just can't imagine the mentality of we're taking a resource that is valuable to our economy. We could create jobs in this country with, and we're shipping it overseas.
The U.S. Department of Energy reached a different conclusion, though. In its most recent approval of another project similar to Jordan Cove, the agency found exporting natural gas would likely yield economic benefits to the country. Back on the Oregon coast, Michael Heinrichs is a spokesman for Jordan Cove Energy and the Pacific Connector Pipeline Project. He says eminent domain is a last resort.
We much rather come to an equitable agreement with the landowners. We like when landowners engage us because then they can negotiate and we better understand not only their land, but what they feel their land is worth.
Heinrich says more than a third of the 300 landowners affected have agreed to let the pipeline cross their property. He says only 15% have refused. Amid ongoing negotiations, preparation work on the banks of Coos Bay continues. Backers of the Jordan Cove Energy Project hope to begin construction next year and have the facility operating by the end of 2018. Jeff Brady, NPR News.